Hey Cheryl.
Hey Cheryl. Hey Marge. Carmen.
Everybody.
Hi everybody.
Okay.
That's funny. So anyway, we're just laughing because I don't know why we're laughing because we're silly, I guess. But we're gonna move from laughter to prayer. How's that? So, yeah, let's just settle in for a second here. We're only here to be truly helpful, and we just pray for the grace to be able to hear what we need to hear and say what we need to say, so that we can all be illumined by what takes place here. So that would be my prayer. Amen.
Illumined by?
Illumined by.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know illumined.
So I'll be lit up.
Okay. All right.
Enlightened by,
I
something
like
like
illumined.
that.
I just didn't know illumined.
Yes. We're laughing because we gave up our grievances. That's it. Yeah, right. Okay, most of them.
We did have a little tiff this week.
We did. She said she was sorry, and I figured, okay, we're. I'm
That's the way it
too.
usually goes.
No, we did. It was all good. It was all good. We put a cap on it tonight, so that was good.
Yeah, it was.
So we are here to share Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament in our program called Growing with NTI. We are on page 182, which is in the middle of NTI Luke chapter 23. We're starting, I don't know what the verses are, but it's the middle of page 182, sentence number 31. Jesus listened only to the voice for truth. He forgave his brothers their illusions because he knew they were not truth. Now, I could go on with this paragraph, but I'd like to comment because I looked down and saw that. And I was like, well, I mean, there's just so much packed in there. He forgave his brothers their illusion because he knew they were not truth. So he wasn't trying to convince his brothers, oh, you're so wrong, you're so silly, you're so mean, any of that, right? Jesus forgave them their illusions. So whatever they had going on, and we may be in this may be in the middle of, I think this is in the middle of him getting crucified. But he knew whatever was going on with them was not truth. And so he was able to forgive them or overlook what their actions or, he just knew that that wasn't, none of it was true. What they were believing was not true. What was about to happen to him was not true. And so there was nothing to be done about it except to recognize it was not true. And that's forgiveness.
Yeah, and even in our little tiff that we had this last week or so, when I really sat with it and was a little embarrassed for myself, that even if I thought what you were saying was an illusion, at the very least, I could have held that space for you. I mean, what difference does it make if it's, I mean, this existence and bearing out this existence is the illusion. So, if I love you the way I claim that I love you, and then the heart that in my heart of hearts I know that I love you, rather than my needing to be right or whatever, right? If I could have held a space for you so that whether you are right or wrong, if I could have been Jesus here and said, okay, that's just, that's that may or may not be the truth, but just held that space for you, what difference would it have made? That would have been the true act of love.
Yeah, and the alternative is to crucify your brother Really, I mean, to
Well, that's what I
destroy,
did.
no, it's all good. To attempt to destroy your brother for what? In order so that you can build up your illusion of yourself.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
illusion of yourself is I'm right and she's wrong.
Right. And it's only so that we can feed that personal sense of self, that ego sense of self, which is the illusion.
Yeah, my point is it's not the loving thing to do. The loving thing to
Sure, sure,
do
sure, sure.
would be to just hold that space.
Right, and what I'm talking about is why we don't do that.
Okay.
She thinks I'm correcting her because that's what she thinks about everything. No, honey, I'm not correcting you. I'm saying it's a plus. It's a plus what you said. What Connie said, plus here's another idea to go along with it. So why wouldn't we choose the loving thing? Right?
Oh, because we're ate up with our own,
Because we're ate up
and we think we're separate from
with
our brother.
proving who we are, with proving this identity. I mean, because when you look at it, like you said, you're embarrassed later. Me too, by the way. By the way. And you're like, well, why couldn't I just like let her have that or not have said anything or whatever it is? Well,
Yes,
why
yeah,
not?
to
Because,
prove my existence
yeah.
and that I'm separate and probably right and you're probably wrong.
Right, and the point is, it's all about exactly proving that separate existence, proving I exist, I exist, I exist. Yeah, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And most of the time, the answer, yeah, sweet Kathy, most of the time the answer is I would rather be right. And then we sit around scratching our heads, going, I'm miserable. I'm sitting in this house or wherever by myself. I could be hanging out with, some brother if I hadn't pissed off the entire world. Because I need to be right about everything I encounter, And so I'm sitting here by myself miserable, and what has it gained me? And so that's why it seems like this ego need or this whatever personal self need to prove itself is at a direct variance with your true happiness. Your true happiness would be to do the loving thing. And you're not doing it because, oh, I'm altruistic and I'm loving. You're doing it because that's really your true desire. Because love and happiness and sameness and equality, all of that, I mean, it's all like you always talk about, Connie, the two columns, right? What's really going to make you happy is not to prove that you're right.
Yeah.
Is not to establish your own existence.
Yeah.
It's going to be what's going to make you happy is the loving thing. And we all know that. We've all done that. We've all had those situations, at least, those of us who've been doing this for a while, we've had those situations where you get to see the choice. You get to see how you could respond in a, pissy manner or whatever, right? Or you get to see that you could also act in a loving manner, and then you choose the loving route, and it feels great, and everybody's happy, and it's wonderful, and your heart's warm, and their heart's warm, and it's a loving situation, and it's like, oh my God, why don't I do this all the time? And then the next time something goes up, you go, well, I'm right, and you reject all of that, but it's the nature of what we do,
I think they do call it insanity.
right, for a reason. Yeah. Okay, so now let's read a couple more sentences. Jesus listened only to the voice for truth. He forgave his brothers their illusions because he knew they were not truth. He welcomed his brothers in love as one with him in peace and safety because he saw beyond illusions to the truth of life, which is the gift of God. You, my brother, are like Jesus. The voice that is with him is with you also. It is the voice of truth that ends all illusions and with it all nightmares. Yeah, and that's exactly what we were talking about a minute ago,
Yeah,
right?
that's the two choices.
Yeah. Truth or nightmares. Trust the voice of truth. It is the voice of health and of honesty, and I would add of happiness.
Sanity.
Yeah. Honesty is acceptance. It does not fight or try to change. I'm going to stop in the middle of that. Or try to convince somebody that they're wrong. right? I mean, you know, or try to convince myself that I'm right. Honesty is acceptance. It does not fight or try to change. It accepts in peace that which is meaningless as meaningless because it is honest and does not wish for deception.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the loving. That's the loving. What is? So if my sister, you know, says something to me that rubs me the wrong way, and I got to tell you that, you know, Connie and I are pretty close. This little tiff we had last week was really hard, I think, on both of us. I'm sorry, I got distracted. I looked at the board and was looking at reading page numbers. So that threw me off. I'm sorry. sorry about that for getting distracted. But the point being, so what would have brought both of us happiness in this situation, and we each had our part in it, would have been to see that which is meaningless, to see that as meaningless, right? Whether, you know, who was right in the situation or any of that. We would have both been a lot happier if either one of us could have just gone, ha, isn't that funny? That's meaningless, right? And just been able to let it go. But it took both of us a while to get there. Certainly that would be the practice of loving what is. If I could have just gone, huh, isn't that something, and just let it be, right? I mean, that's at least the acceptance part of loving what is. We would have both been a whole lot better off. That's all. Okay. And when I read this about, you know, Jesus loving what was, even as he was being crucified, I hear my friend Suzanne Sullivan, because she always talked about that. You know, Suzanne said, you know, Jesus didn't say, "You sons of bitches," as he was on his way to be crucified. He wasn't cussing people out and saying how wrong they were and how he was right. He was the Son of God and they were heathens, right? I mean, there's none of that going on.
yeah, now we had the little tiff over nothing. Can you imagine? Unbelievable.
Yeah. So it says here that Jesus' death was not significant because of his last words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." With these words, Jesus declared that his self was not stolen from God, but was of God and was the same as God. This was the significance about what seemed to be his death. It was the declaration that there is no death that was significant and heard by some who witnessed these things on this day.
It's amazing. It's amazing that Jesus could have gotten this back then when there, you know, there wasn't anybody to bounce this stuff off of.
Well,
you know, there wasn't anything else to read. There wasn't anything on the internet you could. There wasn't A Course in Miracles.
Couldn't Google it. I saw some stuff recently, and I have thought for a long time that, you know, Jesus had those missing years between when he was like a youth and 33 years old, and there's some evidence to support the belief that he was in India and learning from the masters there. So. But he got it.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, there's that to be said. So. Okay. So again, it wasn't about the crucifixion. It was about the resurrection. He was going, "Look, people, I'm not a body. You can't, you know, there's nothing here to be harmed. There's nothing real here going on." It was the declaration that there is no death that was significant and was heard by some who witnessed these things on this day. What is the nature of God? The nature of God is life.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to say more?
It just means that, you know, that means that life is everlasting, right? I mean, that sounds kind of cliche, but... If the nature, if God is eternal and the nature of God is life, then For me, that means being a part of that forever and not having to fear this death of the body or death of or non-existence, I guess.
Yeah. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Same thing, right?
Yes, exactly.
And that's what this says. That which is created by God must have his nature, as it is his nature that is the element of creation. You know, and Regina often talks about that in terms of, you know, Plato. You know, you can take Plato and you can create Plato villages and Plato horses and Plato people, but it's all Plato. And this is the same thing here. We're all, you know, we all have the same source. Larry says Jesus traveled to India to listen to Beatles music. I think you got your epochs. Isn't that what they're called? Your eras confused there, Larry.
There is no time.
That's okay. Right. Okay, top of page 183. This is what God has gifted to you and will not take away. Life.
Wow, thank you. Thank you, God.
There is no threat that this gift can be taken from you. It is yours eternally. And you are of this gift. And you are the same as this gift. As you are of God and the same as God.
You know, I think that enlightenment that everybody's looking for, that is the realization of that. That you are the gift, that you are of God and the same as God. I think there's a more than just saying it. There's a oneness with that, a recognition of that in the being of your being, that you'll know that to be true, and then that is.
And that is enlightenment.
Yeah. No time.
Confusion entered your mind when you believed that you took this gift from God. You believed that you made this gift according to your will, which was to steal it from God's will. It is this thought upon which you judged yourself as guilty and unworthy, and so you became fearful and learned to attack.
So it's just living that tiny mad idea over and over and over and over, and then having the spat with your sister and over and over, and then another spat.
Yeah, because we're confused about who we are.
Yeah.
And we like to, and it's saying this in past tense, but we like to think about it in past tense, like some ancient ancestor did something really stupid, and now we're all paying for it, right? It's a lot easier to believe that. Than to go, no, I'm doing it every day because I'm confused about who I am. I'd rather think that I'm this self-righteous individual who's right when her sister's wrong, than really get the fact that, no, I'm not this separate individual. I am of God and as God and one with God. The whole point of being here is to understand that and live that. But if you understand that the gift you were given is life, you will understand that the gift has not been stolen because it cannot be stolen. It is a gift that simply is. Well, and that really gets to that that idea about unworthiness and guilt, right? Because even though we want to, or I do, even though I want to blame it on some ancient ancestor, I can feel that that tug there when it says, honey, you didn't steal anything, because it simply can't be stolen. It's a gift that is. So that, and that gets back to your point, which is that is enlightenment. That's the realization. That's the capital S, the true self realization, is that nothing's changed, nothing's shifted, nothing's gone anywhere. The only thing that can shift is your perception, right? And that's all that's required here. In fact, it's not even required. If you want to stay in the illusion and the delusion, you're welcome to do that.
Pain and the suffering.
Yeah, have at it. But the fact is, the gift has been given. You couldn't alter it if you wanted to. And so you might as well just recognize that gift for what it is. That's sweet. Larry's posted this from Rumi. that which God said to the rose, and caused it to laugh in full-blown beauty, he said to my heart, and made it 100 times more beautiful. Yeah, sweet. Thank you, Larry. When you surrender to this gift by ceasing to deny its reality, you surrender to love. For what can the acceptance of eternal life be except eternal gratitude, which is love? This is what Jesus declared. You know, that, I mean, that's just so profound. And you really got to sit with that for a minute. If you don't mind, I'm going to read that paragraph again. It's just, it's, yeah. When you surrender to this gift by ceasing to deny its reality, you surrender to love. For what can the acceptance of eternal life be except eternal gratitude, which is love?
You know, and I know anybody that's listened to me talk before is, in spiritual terms, has talked, and I've talked about my a mystical experience, one of those mystical experiences being when I was having the light episode, and all I could do was cry in joy and gratitude, and all I really remember that I did was over and over again was saying, oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. So, you know, you can really feel this eternal gratitude with one of the few mystical experiences that I've had, but that certainly was there.
That's so sweet. Thank you, Sharon. This is what Jesus declared. There is no death because the gift of God is life. There is no guilt because this one gift that God has given cannot be taken away.
Well, and that's a big one too. I mean, we just want to be guilty for everything. I guess that's, what do they call that?
Existential guilt?
Existential guilt, yes. Yeah. And that's what we... Yeah, we seem to be living all this existentially, because it just seems that we figure out ways to be guilty in the most absurd circumstances, and there's a quest for this guilt, and we can't get away from it. We're just ate up with it, so. Sorry, I don't mean to speak for my whole audience.
Well, if we weren't, we wouldn't all make it such a quest to make it such a journey to enlightenment, right? I mean, if of course, you know, that's what they say. It's not. It just takes the recognition, and for some people, the recognition comes. Suddenly and spontaneously, and for the rest of us chickens, it seems to take effort, or at the very least, lots of preparation in waiting. So I don't think that's true, but that's the way that that's the way that I experience, and apparently so does Kathy, who wrote, "It takes forever."
Yeah, I think that recognition. I mean, we're all having those spots of recognition. I think even in Regina's message that we listened to this week, that was the point of her inquiry, is it we have to do that inquiry less and less because it becomes a recognition. Oh, I've done this before. There's no reason to go down that path before. This is something that I know that is not true. So, you know, why participate in it again? It only brought me misery before, but I get to see it is a recognition, and it doesn't have to be an experience all over again.
Yeah, good, Connie. Good point.
The loop.
Yeah, Yeah, the perceptual loop. Okay, let's see. Death is an illusion. It may seem to be final, but it is not, because all that can be final is that which lasts when all else has ended, and that is truth and the recognition of the reality of life. That which precedes the recognition of life as it is rest. This is the true meaning of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a day set aside at the end of the week before another week of work begins. The Sabbath is a time set aside at the end of time, before the recognition of time as a set of limits ends. Yeah, time as a set of limits. So we've drawn this little circle around who we think we are. We've drawn a little circle of clay around this separate piece of self that I think I am, separate from God and my brother, and even if there's a oneness, buddy, I'm separate from that, right? And then we've placed this little separate chunk of clay into this linear pattern where it has, and it's important, you know, time maintains this sense of self. In fact, if you listen to Paul Hederman talk, you know, that it's time that does maintain this sense of self. You have, you know, you reflect on your past to say, this is who I am, I've done all these things, this makes me who I am, and that's one time this one thing happened, and so anytime it happens in the future, this is how I plan to act, right? So you project, you take all these past elements and roll them up into this ball, put it in the middle of this clay, and then in your imagination, you project this little ball of clay off into the future, and this is who you think you are.
Yeah, you can certainly see the artificiality of time. You can see it as much as the body and the ball of clay that you're talking about has we've dumbed ourselves down, limit ourselves in that capacity. And then if that's not enough, now we put the time constraints on it. Well, you know, you probably got, maybe, you know, lucky, you probably have 80 years, maybe, you know, on the outside probably.
Better hurry up and get enlightened.
Yeah. And you know, by this time, the wrinkles are going to set in and you're going to get a little dumpy. And, you know, the whole, and then we're only talking about the body.
And then we're only talking about the body, yeah. Yeah, and yeah, so we do use time to reinforce the limits that we've, you know, set out to believe in our bodies, and we even take that to the spiritual realm. You know, again, we heard Paul Hederman saying to us the last couple of weeks, you know, how much time does it take to wake up? None. How much time does it take to find something that was never lost? None. Yeah, dust off the deck chairs, Larry says. Yeah. Okay, so at any rate, Sabbath, back to that. The Sabbath is a time set aside at the end of time before the recognition of time as a set of limits ends. The Sabbath is a time of rest in which you still experience the effects of time, but you no longer choose to participate in them. As thoughts come into your mind that are not the thoughts of peace, you rest from those thoughts and let them be healed. During the Sabbath, your healing occurs according to your own willingness to rest. Okay, so again, you know, we know that what the goal here is to let go of the thinking mind. Why? Because the thinking mind merely reinforces the separate sense of self. So in order to get to the end of time, right, in order to transcend this self-imposed set of limits, what's required is to quit listening to the thinking mind. Rest the story, as in rest, accept, and trust, right? Rest the story. Love what is. Don't think that you need to manipulate the situation to make it comfortable for this separate self. That's the whole point of what we're doing with this loving what is. I don't need things to be different. To need things to be different is to participate in the story, is to continue to believe the thinking mind. This is about resting all of it, resting my beliefs about myself, my beliefs about your supposedly separate self, my belief about how you and I fit in with this world, how you and I fit within in with these time limitations. Just rest. Just watch it unfold. And that's why we're doing what we're attempting to do again with this loving what it what is method, and just allow it to be what it is.
Oh, that's beautiful, Jacqueline. And that's, you know, of course, that's obviously that's where we start. We started with Jesus saying that he could let his brothers have their illusions without participating in them, or without reinforcing them, or without judging them harshly or whatever.
Because they weren't true.
Because they weren't true. So, you know, there wasn't anything to do except to maybe just smile and go on, right?
Go and march on to the cross.
Yeah, I guess.
Right? I mean, because that's the way things were unfolding, yeah. Yeah, well, that's fine for Jesus to say that on the way to the cross, but not so much when I get into a little tiff with my sister. But yeah, you're right, exactly right. That brings us full circle to that opening, those opening lines. So let's look again. As thoughts come into your mind that are not the thoughts of peace, you rest from those thoughts and let them be healed. During the Sabbath, your healing occurs according to your own willingness to rest. So if you're in there participating, you know, you're not allowing room for healing. You have to quit believing. You know, as Kathy said a while ago, otherwise you're participating in the perceptual loop. You have to quit believing in the thoughts that come into your mind. As the mind is healed, peace comes over you, and you no longer fight to place meaning where there is none.
Yeah, see, and that's what I was explaining when I, after the fact, after our argument, and thought, you know, I love Jacqueline. Why would you do that? Why would you fight for a meaningless point?
Right, on some meaningless scale.
On some meaningless scale to so that I'm right this time, you know?
And boy, she better recognize it too, and I'm not going to speak to her again until she does. Yeah, it's absurd, but I mean, we do it all the time. I do it all the time. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but you see yourself doing it, you're like, oh my God, I'm crazy. And you do it till you don't do it. You know, you do it till you give it up. You no longer struggle against the gift of God by choosing to divide it, define it, and judge. You simply agree to be grateful for it and to accept it in its innocence and purity. Kathy, there you go. The Sabbath is a time of rest and non-judgment. The Sabbath is a time of stillness and peace. The Sabbath is a time of giving your willingness that it may be strengthened into full willingness and the full acceptance of life. And that's I really appreciate that last sentence. The full acceptance of life, because you remember it's a gift. Life is a gift given by God that makes us. Well, it's a gift that simply is. It's a gift that is met with eternal gratitude. It's a gift of love. So by practicing our willingness becomes full strength until we can actually accept the gift that's being given by God to us. And we're no longer denying it. We deny the gift that's given to us. We deny the gift by not sharing it. We deny the gift by dividing it, right? By needing to be separate, by needing to be right. We attempt to divide that gift. We don't actually have any real effect on it, but we experience it. We experience the division. We experience a nightmare. It's not true, but we experience it, and we experience it as a nightmare, rather than coming into full acceptance of the gift that's been given.
Sweet. Thank you.
Okay. So that takes us to one page 184, NTI Luke, chapter 24. Middle of the page, 184. I'm going to take a drink. Okay. I have promised you that if you give me your faith and willingness, listen to me and do as I say, I will give to you an experience that you did not expect. This is important. It is important that you give me all that is in your mind for healing, that it may be healed. What you do not give to me cannot be healed, and what is not healed will block the experience that I give. And of course, this is exactly what we just talked about. You know, if you want to continue to be right, and it's like certainly like we've heard before, and like Cheryl said a while ago, you want to be right or you want to be happy. If you want to continue to be right, then you're going to continue to believe those thoughts in your mind that tell you, no, you have to fight for, you know, your right to be recognized as the one who's right. You have to, you know, you have to stand up for yourself. You got to, you know, show people what's what, you know, and all of that, those thoughts about reinforcing the self will keep you in the nightmare and keep you from your healing. So in order to have that healing, what you have to do is offer those up and go, man, it sure feels like I ought to be defending myself right now. Man, it sure feels like I'm right. But I don't want to feel like this anymore. That's that. I'm confused about my goal. My goal is to be healed, and therefore I offer these things up for healing.
Yeah, my defenselessness.
My safety lies.
My safety lies, and so does my joy.
That's right. So, it says here.
What chairs?
It says here, search your mind for all of these things, and when you find them, give them to me quickly without any attachment to the thoughts you have found.
Yeah, that's purification.
Right.
And of course, we've learned to do this through the inquiry. So, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, to search for it, yeah. Yeah, and you know, somewhere in somewhere in Course in Miracles, it talks about your greatest, and I'm not sure how you folks who have studied Course in Miracles more can say it, but Jesus says the best question to ask is, how do I feel? Right? And if I feel like crap, then I'm believing crap. Jesus doesn't say that last part. That's Jacqueline. But that's the point, right? It's like, if I am unhappy, if I'm experiencing, frankly, in the Course it says, if I'm experiencing anything but perfect joy, then I'm believing in illusions. You know, you don't have to go on a major quest to find these things there. If you're unhappy, that's a really good time to start performing this self-inquiry, right? What thoughts am I believing? What thoughts am I believing that are keeping me in this nightmare and that are making me unhappy?
Yeah, so if I'm unhappy or anything less than pure happiness, I'm misidentified.
Yeah, exactly. So search your mind for all of these things, and when you find them, give them to me quickly without any attachment to the thoughts you have found. Search your mind for doubt, all manner of fear, hatred, anger, grievance, guilt, unworthiness, helplessness, loneliness, depression, striving, hope, and longings. Wow, what a list. And some of those seem relatively innocuous, frankly. You know, they don't seem like such bad things. Striving, hope, longings, those things really don't seem that bad. But let me read some more. Each thought that is not of peace and joy in the present moment can be given to me, and each one can be healed in order to bring the unexpected recognition of life into your mind. So while some of those are easier to identify as problematic, those that striving, hope, and longing seem to be things that are not all that awful, but it's not a thought of peace and joy in this moment, right? You can see where you're placing yourself on that limitation of a timeline, right, with those last three, striving, hope, and longing. I wish I was enlightened. I wish I was a better person. I wish I could experience love, right? I mean, this is placing it somewhere in my imaginary future. So this is about, is this a thought of peace and joy in the present moment? NTI Luke chapter 24, let's see here where we are, bottom of the page on 184, sentence 9 says, be like Peter, put your doubts aside, let not your fears hold you back from desiring the truth of love beyond your seeming reason. Yeah, let me finish. Come and look with me, continue to trust me, and to seek that which I offer. It's just really sweet. Let not your fears hold you back from desiring the truth of love beyond your seeming reason, right? And it's, again, put aside the thinking mind. The thinking mind's going to go, oh, no, you can't put yourself on the line like that. You know, she's clearly wrong. Why would you tell her you're sorry? Why would you, you know, be the one to wave the white flag? Why, you know, any of those types of things.
This is only going to come up again if you give her the heads up that she's right.
Yeah, she'll want to lord it over you. I mean, you know, the thinking mind is going to tell you all of these things, and Jesus is like, let that go. Holy Spirit's like, let that go. Put your doubts aside. Let not your fears hold you back from desiring the truth of love beyond your seeming reason. It says, top of page 185. Yeah, come and continue to trust me, Kathy says. Top of 185, verses 13 through 35. The sickness that is in your mind is a sickness of belief based on a sickness of desire. This sickness is not sinful, but it is blinding. It is not sinful because this sickness has done nothing. What has done nothing cannot be a sin. It has done nothing because all that is true remains true, even until this moment. But the sickness is blinding because it keeps you focused on itself through your own desire. As you focus on the sickness, you see only what sickness has taught you to see. This means that you do not see the truth, even though it is present and before you now. Yeah, and this is that perceptual loop. What I think I see, what I see I experience, when I experience I think. I mean, you're going to continue to see that. You know, any psychologist is going to tell you that you have this perceptual bias where you see what you believe. That anything that is inconsistent with what you believe, you're going to tend not to see. And so you're just going to have this reinforcing belief. I mean, we know it spiritually, but again, the psychologists and scientists are going to tell you the same thing. There's just some things you can't see because you believe the opposite of them, and your head just can't handle it. Go ahead.
It's the airplane landing on the interstate.
Yeah, tell that story.
They just talk about it all the time about how people absolutely cannot see this airplane that's landing on the interstate. I mean, it's the same as in The Secret when they couldn't see the ships coming into the shore because they just had no concept of ships.
Yeah, and what to bleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's what this is talking about. Until you change your mind and choose again and choose to see differently, you're not going to see anything different.
Yeah, until, you know, it just goes back, you know, this argument that we had was actually good because, I mean, you can only it's so blinding that you can only see it from the perspective of I'm right and I've got to stand up for that and I've got to, you know, I've got to make my presence known, all these separating bombardment of thoughts rather than the rested, full heart that would be so easy to extend that, as opposed to the separate self that needed to, you know, wave its own glory flag.
Bow your head and check your heart's desire. Do you wish to be deceived?
You'd think.
Do you wish to see what you have wished to see, or do you wish to see the truth? When you no longer wish to see that which is not there, you shall see that which is. There is no delay, and this is cool, there is no delay between the desire to see it and the instant of sight. So if you're still in that confusion, if you're still in the illusion and the nightmare of it, it's because you still desire to see what you desire to see, as opposed to desiring to see the truth. It shall be done in complete perfection in the moment that you want it above all that clutters your mind and your sight now.
Yeah, and when I had that recognition of oh my God, I love Jacqueline. Why would I be doing this? Why wouldn't I just give her a safe space to say whatever she wanted to say? I mean, at that moment, I knew that was the desire of my sight, and that the other was a total crock.
Wait a minute, I made that decision. You didn't.
Excuse me.
No, it's funny because as Connie says that, you know, again, silly little tiff we had. It didn't seem silly at all. It seemed like a really big deal. You know, I was hurting, she was hurting. And of course, my thoughts are, why is she being so mean? Why is this such a big deal to her? I mean, all of these things, right? And I really... So, you see, I'm desiring to continue to be right. I'm just poor little old innocent me. I didn't do anything wrong, and here she's being so mean to me. And so, you know, I can continue believing those thoughts, or I can just go, okay, there's something wrong here. And
a misperception.
Yeah, and I have a misperception, and I want peace. I want love. I want, you know, I want my sister back. And that's what we both experienced. Okay. This is what you are to do, Holy Spirit says. This is NTI Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 53, page 185. This is what you are to do. Remember all that I have taught. Practice what I have taught with your every breath. Do not be distracted. Remember that the truth is not what you see, so what you see must be mistaken. And that's exactly what I was saying before.
Yeah.
It seems like, gosh, I was right. I didn't do anything wrong, right? But that's, you know, if, again, check in. How do I feel? This doesn't feel good. Well, then I must be mistaken. Remember that the truth is not what you see, so what you see must be mistaken. Do not believe it and judge it and react to it as if it is real. Remain distant in your interactions with the world, aware that you do not know, so that you may remain open to guidance from one who does. Be grateful for all that is true. All that is true is this: life, love, sharing, extension, and joy. These are the characteristics of God and of truth, of which you are one. All that you experience must be of these, or else it is illusion made up in the mind. Am I experiencing life, love, sharing, extension, and joy? No? Then I must have made something else up to believe in. Else I would be experiencing these things. Do not believe that which isn't real. Let's see. Am I experiencing these things? Life, love, sharing, extension, and joy? No. Then quit believing whatever it is I'm believing. Do not believe that which isn't real. Have faith beyond the experience you know now. Have faith beyond the experience. And another experience will be given in the instant that you have readied yourself for it. You ready yourself in this way. Listen to all that I have said. Practice it with your every breath. No exceptions here. Because, you know, that's how ego gets a foothold. That's how, you know, this separate sense. Yeah, but she's the one that needs to, she should sit down and meditate more. Right? Because I was clearly wronged in this situation. I mean, you know, the tendency is to make exceptions. And any exception is, you know, is the road to hell. Any exception is going to try and provide you with justification for being unhappy. You know, that's if you're not experiencing one of those things, if Jacqueline's not experiencing one of those things, it's because Jacqueline has chosen to believe in something else. If I'm not experiencing life, love, sharing, extension, and joy, then I'm believing in some illusion. And I'm the one, it doesn't matter whether Connie changes, it doesn't matter whether my boss changes, it doesn't matter whether those people over there change, it doesn't matter. If I'm not experiencing life, love, sharing, extension, and joy, I'm the one who has to change what I'm believing in.
And it just proves how it's all just so mental. And I don't know. I guess maybe we've said it. It is arranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, because it's just so meaningless. It's just so meaningless. Okay, so in the worldly setting, you are right. You know, what is the gain?
Yeah, even if you were right, which you probably aren't, because you've got your blue blinders on, based on what, you know, based on these BS rules that you made up for the world. You know, you can't, what we were saying a while ago, I mean, you can't see the airplane landing on the expressway because it's not supposed to be there. You can't see the ships coming in because I've never seen a ship before. I can't see what's actually going on because I have this bias.
Yes.
So it's probably not even right, even in worldly terms.
Yes. Yes. And so you can certainly understand why the Course talks about the veil all the time, or even NTI talks about the veil, because it's so blinding to what's really going on that you're left clueless. You're left in the dark, literally.
And all of that can change in an instant.
With that open heart.
Yeah, with the willingness. Yes, exactly. Okay, Jesus, Holy Spirit, same thing, right? Says, do not move from your practice. Be clothed with power from on high in humility and gratitude. You are blessed within the being that you are this moment. Amen. All right, well, so we just finished NTI Luke, and we loved it. I loved it. Honey, you loved it?
Oh, Luke is all that.
Yeah, Luke is all that. So it doesn't make sense to try in this last few minutes to move on to the next book, which is the book of John. We'll start that. I guess I'll start it next week. Connie's not going to be here next week. She's going to be off playing on vacation.
Yep, we'll be doing nothing for a while. I'll take my studies with me, but I am going to take a minute and not go have to go to work every day and eat some good seafood and be back shortly.
So you're going to miss next week? You're missing the following week?
I'm not sure about the following week, to be quite honest. I may be getting back right in time for class, so if I make it, I certainly will.
Okay, guys. Well, we'll miss Connie. We'll try and carry on without her. We love you guys. Connie and I love you guys.
Eating the sticks. Yeah, I might do some of that too, Kathy.
We love you guys. We love being here with you. We appreciate the opportunity to do that and to share our experiences and our love with you. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody. Thanks a lot. Thanks for letting us share.
Thank you. Yeah, sure. If you want to play a song, that'd be awesome. Okay. Bye, everybody.